Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the After Show for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The full panel is here to get into every bit of tonight's episode. There's a lot to talk about already. I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and hello, we have a full panel.
Woohoo! Hello, everybody. I was really enjoying that Erika Jane.
Yeah,
like a painkiller. And if you guys love Erika Jane, you can tweet me about it at Christy Reports. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Megan Stecker. So happy to be back this week, and you guys can tweet me at Megan Stecker.
Fern Ronay here. Happy to be back, too, and you can tweet me at Fern Ronay.
Nice.
All right.
Well, let's just give our overall impressions of this episode, because we're finally getting into where there's like more than one thing happening or more than one dinner party to lead up to. I feel like we're finally getting into a more dynamic part of the season. So, and especially, ladies, since you weren't here last week, you know, what are your overall thoughts? You know, the whole nonsense back and forth with Catherine and Lisa Vanderpump.
I'm going to characterize this as a mature cattiness. Because I think maybe if it was last season, things would be being thrown at each other or screaming, threatening fights. But there was almost a maturity to the fights in this episode. Which I'm not sure if I liked, but I kind of liked.
Yeah, I was just finally happy that there was some conflict. Like, something's happening. People are disagreeing. People are at odds. Thank God, finally.
Yes. Yeah. This is the first one where I feel like I don't have to be like, oh, we watched it 2 hours ago. What happened again? A whole lot of nothing. Like, no, I'm like, oh, that was juicy.
Yeah, and a lot of the housewives are now, not to give any web references, but they're intertwining. And, you know, like, you've got Eileen who's pulling people over, and then you've got Lisa Rinna who just won't step out of the shot. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like everyone's kind of getting involved, and there's a lot of crossover. So I like it. So let's talk about the specifics of this episode. Open up right before the dinner party over at the Girardi Mansion. Yolanda's too sick to come already. I don't know about you, but I hate getting those last minute text messages like, can't make it, I'm not coming. I wasn't into that, and I would have really been pissed if I had known that she was out earlier at lunch with those other two fools, Brandy and Kim.
I think maybe as Yolanda's friends, you just expect things like this to happen, that she's going to cancel at the last minute. The thing that stuck out to me in this scene was that Erica's glam squad pretended like they didn't know who Lisa Vanderpump is.
Yes, I have that note. Like, the gaze
the
didn't know.
Shade.
I don't buy it either.
She paid them to say that.
Yeah. The English one, the British one. That's how she did put
so
it.
So right. Mm. But yeah, I mean, we would maybe expect to get this news about Yolanda. The news we got later in the episode that where she had been earlier in the day was not so suspected.
I would think Yolanda would have been like, I was out earlier and it wore me down. Just like, tell the truth.
Yeah. I would have expected her to cancel for sure.
Eileen couldn't come. Kyle couldn't come. The party looked nice. I like how Erica said that she doesn't cook. She can't be bothering to measure things. And you know what? I can't either. I can relate to that.
Preach.
You know, if you have the money, good for you. She had people serving her bread at her own home at a dinner party. Like, that is what you call success, people.
I mean, have it delivered if you can afford it.
Yeah. Please send your chef to my house to make some things.
Seriously.
That would be great. What the hell is this note that I have here? I have no idea what this note is, but anyway, Lisa Rinna reacted to Yolanda not coming with a little bit of a jolt. she, like, you know, the wide eyes, the reactions that come from her. She's very theatrical. Because Erica was saying, like, yeah, she, like, really didn't look good. Her eyes were bulging on the FaceTime, and then it just cut to, like, a shot of Rinna. Rinna's still doing too much. Did you notice
yes,
this?
The most. If my face right now, like, reaction to Lisa Rinna would be like that emoji that's like the eyes are just like a slit across and the mouth is just like a straight line, just like like, no, I can't be bothered.
And then it came back to her not eating. ...
Catherine won't let that go.
No,
it's annoying.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And then
now Rinna is recycling the leopard. Remember, Eileen wore the same dress and us. It's like, ladies. Yeah. This is not New Jersey.
I so want to say that.
I just realized that I said that in front of three people who are from the East Coast.
Oh, I don't give a damn.
No,
I was going to say the same thing.
Hello, we are the panelists from New Jersey, and we live in.
And I guarantee you're not going to see me in a leopard print, so I'm not offended.
Me either. Are any of us from New Jersey, though?
No,
Furnace.
And you will see me in leopard, and I'll be proud of you.
Yes.
People think
and
I'm
it'll
from
look
Jersey.
Good on her.
People think I'm Jewish and from New Jersey, and I'm Italian and from Rhode Island, but I look like the map of. I look like I could be Jewish.
Italian and from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
What about you, Megan? Are you from the East Coast?
I am, but I have no Italian in me. I'm Jewish, but I wasn't. I have ancestors that were Jewish, but. A long
never
time ago.
Never had a bat mitzvah or anything.
Correct.
Wow, it's like a whole nother world. Yeah. Podunk, Southern Minnesota.
But used. I was raised around a lot of Italians, and all of my cousins are half Italian. I'm the only one who didn't have an Italian parent. I come from that neck of the woods.
Yes. Well, someone tonight who could have used some Italian food or breadsticks, as it was pushed to her, was Lisa Rinna. So Lisa Rinna perhaps could use a fresh gift in her life. Perhaps someone should send her Blue Apron. Look, she can eat. It's easy. I don't know. It's a certain amount of calories. I mean, you know, pay attention, Rinna. This one's for you. Looking for a cool and creative gift for someone that you like? Well, imagine how happy they'd be when they get home from an exhausting day at work and they have the ingredients right there for a delicious, healthy dinner waiting for them. So, come on, you know that everyone's lives are crazy, busy, and hectic, no matter if you're in Beverly Hills or New Jersey. So, people, if kids have, you know, they've got stuff to do and people to shop for, so help them out and get them a subscription to Blue Apron. How about someone who just had a baby? There's an idea. Mm. Or even, you know, just to get out of the house, or maybe you have newlyweds who want to pop over and just kind of have like a bottle of wine with some friends or whatever, cook a romantic meal together. Blue Apron is a gift they're guaranteed to love. Because Blue Apron provides the ingredients and instructions on how to make amazing meals for less than $10 a meal, it's foolproof. So there's, you know, a bunch of stuff that you can do with this. We've talked about this a couple different weeks now, so we know that there's a variety of stuff you can get, everything from pizzas and fish and tuna and a variety of different healthy options. And each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Very quick. Very quick. That's less than an episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Plus, Blue Apron has meals for all your dietary needs. You can make dishes like chicken cacciatore or kimchi and barley miso ramen. There's something different for you. And this is all done right in your own kitchen. You don't need to go out. So cook with ingredients that you've never used before, like watermelon radishes, farro, and purple potatoes. And recipes are, again, between 500 and 700 calories per portion. So you don't need to worry. Delicious and good for you right now. You can get your first two meals for free over at blueapron.com/podcast. So that's blueapron.com/podcast. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And on that note, let's talk about the food served at this dinner party. I don't remember what was served.
I don't even know. We'll
talk about
I just
party.
Remember the breadstick that Rinna needed to eat. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Catherine was the one who needed to eat a couple of breadsticks because clearly from the first second she opened her mouth, she had had already some champagne and maybe no breadsticks.
I wish her husband was there because she needed someone to kind of reel her in. She literally talked to Blue Streak.
Yes. Yeah. I'd be very interested to see their dynamic together. I wonder if she tries to wear the pants.
Seems it. In that clothing store scene they had.
Yeah, but that he doesn't even really care, though. that she's wearing the pants? Do we think that?
I think if he was there, he wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, really? I kind of do, too.
The same
Me, too.
Time.
Or maybe if anything had egged her on, because we know that he's all up in this being part of the housewives thing.
Mm-hmm. He is a more visible husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's without, a nice way to put it for him.
Without clothing, too.
He's a very distant to Ken, the eighth housewife.
Yeah. Yes. And I wrote Ken in tow. Ken, there he is, walking into the dinner party.
Like, hey, somebody's got to carry the dogs.
I know. It's like he's on a leash. He'll hold the dog, but Ken's on a leash.
Yeah, so Catherine, she claims a bunch of things that she would be a lawyer. Then she had a moment with Mr. Girardi, and they went back and forth. I wrote Catherine as running the dinner because nobody else, there was no other conversation to be had if she wasn't in it. Mm-hmm. And usually that's Lisa Rinna who likes to, you know, really keep things going. So I think Rinna's kind of observing her up until this point, really. And then, you know, we see things change in the dynamic. But Lisa Vanderpump, there she goes again. Now she points across the table at Erica. I want to know more about you. Well, that's all you need to do to set off a conversation in Beverly Hills, because nobody wants to answer any of Lisa Vanderpump's questions. So what goes on? Erica says that she's just very cautious, and then they drop the web word, and then it continues from there. Mm-hmm. What do we want to say about this? Erica's offended by Catherine and their earlier chat that comes up from three episodes past. I just thought the behavior was totally rude on Catherine's part.
Mm-hmm. I think Catherine was trying to make a big show and a big dinner scene to become like this like breakout star of the show. And I think she was drunk and it was embarrassing and she looked like an asshole. And I can't believe that for the rest of the episode, she wasn't like the complete
like horrified
black
sheep. By her behavior.
Oh yeah. She didn't really own any of that.
No.
Not in the way you want her to. She's probably own it and tough and like I'm tough and I'll say what I want, but not like sorry I came into your home and upset everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were giving her a lot of cues that everyone wanted her to be quiet. That she was talking too much. It was a lot of just like glazed over looks at first when she was talking about, oh, I would have been a lawyer. How about you guys? It was like nobody asked Catherine. Sorry. Like she should have gotten the hint that people wanted her to stop. In someone's own home, you don't tell Tom and Erica, oh, stop, I'm still talking. It's like, no, I think maybe in their house they get to talk first and whenever they want, no matter who else is talking.
Right.
And just the fact that she either missed those social cues, maybe because of the champagne, or that she just chose to ignore them because she wanted to be Kathy or whatever it was. Either way, it was not a good look.
Yeah. Lisa Rinna even said, you're talking too much. You talk too much. You're talking too much. But
let's say something.
Pick up on it. But Erica said it perfectly. Like, just be yourself. You don't have to hit us over the head with your personality. Mm-hmm. I think she was trying to just make herself seem a certain way for the show, for them, who knows, and it was so inauthentic and everyone was cringing.
I mean, she screamed, throw me a friggin' bone, as far as like, Erica, be my friend. It just got so cringeworthy after that.
Because why is she so desperate, first of all, for the friendship? And second of all, again, how does she not get that she screwed it up and it's going to take some time? Like, is she pretending not to get it so she can keep doing the outrageous behavior?
Yeah, I think she's pretending.
Yeah.
She just keeps acting like she did nothing wrong so that everyone will accept she did nothing wrong. They're not having it.
I still don't
like her.
That's
a little Vanderpump-y.
I still don't like her on the show, but it did make for some good dramatic scenes that we were waiting for.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, Catherine. I mean, I think I'd be okay if she was a friend of the housewives. I just don't see why she needs to be considered a full-time housewife.
Yeah, she's not a rounded-out character to me.
No.
She's a one-note.
But that's me.
No. Well, and what about the fact that they've played this up all season long in the trailer that Tom is throwing Catherine out of his house when he threw no one out? I still don't quite understand how Lisa Vanderpump had said, hey, I need to leave early. I need to leave at 9. But then it looks like when she left, everyone just decided to, like, pack it in.
Yeah.
Either way, he didn't throw anybody out of that house.
No, it was so disappointing.
I
know. We said, ah! Because I don't know if everyone listening remembers this, but Christy and I have to watch earlier than Grant and Fern, and we're watching at different times together, but Christy and I rewound it, and we were like, ah, how cheap of them to tease
false
something that didn't happen. Yeah.
We said the same thing.
Yep.
False advertising.
Disappointed.
So, you know, Tom makes a point that Tom tries to make a point of, you know, tries to get lay down the law a little bit, and then Ken says, oh, you're just a lawyer, you're not a judge, sit to be quiet, or something like that. another thing you don't say in someone else's house.
Right.
Ken, why are you there? I know it's supposed to be a couple's dinner, but it didn't turn into a couple's dinner because, you know, Harry Hamlin wasn't there, whatever. But I mean, it's like, why keep your mouth shut?
Right. And like, stop trying to defend Elisa every minute of the day. She
doesn't need it.
No, exactly.
No.
She's the last person on earth that needs someone defending her.
It was funny how she kept trying to get the conversation to go back to herself. Not the web.
Yeah.
God.
You know,
thirsty.
And she works 18 hours a day.
Oh, kiss my ass.
I know. That went up my ass too. I was like, really?
Oh, it's so hard to have your housekeeper do everything for you in the home and cook for you and clean for you and bring you tea whenever you want it and show up at your one reality show at your job that you don't really work at and then go film a dinner scene at your other reality show. It's so exhausting. Oh yeah, and I had to squeeze in having my makeup professionally done for me.
Perfect.
I can't.
I hate to like spew Vanderpump hate because she does have a big
fan base.
Why?
I love it.
That's how I mean, but I'm not knocking her. I don't think she's sitting around doing nothing, but I don't think she's working 18 hours either.
No, and I just think the fact that both she and Ken make the same kind of comments to Erica and Tom. It's like, it's very clear that in Ken's mind, he's maybe a little threatened by Tom, and he wants to get out there. Oh, no, you're just a lawyer. You're not a judge. It's like, Ken, what do you think you do that's so great? First of all, and second of all, why did those are always the digs that he and Lisa take? It's like you're very clearly threatened, and that's just not cute. No. And they don't need to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that was the rudest point of the whole night. And, you know, Erica attributed and gave the whole night -5, and she attributed all that to Catherine's behavior. But, I mean, Catherine was no saint at this dinner party, but that comment that Ken made was really lousy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For a man to go after a man.
And not only that, Tom is so, Mr. Girardi is so accomplished.
Right.
And, like, you know, well known.
And it's his
but he's rude, too. I have to say, I have not liked him since the dinner with the Vanderpumps, and I really didn't like him in this episode,
too. Oh, yeah, when he cut Erica off.
Erica off, and, yeah, it was uncomfortable.
I did like that he at least spoke the same way to all the ladies as he did to Erica. Like, he shushed all of them. It wasn't just like, I only disrespect my wife. It was like, no. And I don't even think it was, I disrespect women. I think it was, I don't really respect anybody because I'm way smarter and way more accomplished than everyone, which isn't a good look either, but, you know, at least I can be like, well, okay. Right. You think you're better than everyone else? Well, you are sitting up in that big old mansion, and they did make that movie about you.
Mm-hmm. See, that moment with him shushing people didn't bother me. It wasn't till the next day when they weren't speaking over it, and he didn't like her. What was the word? She's not allowed to behave that way. Now, that's really
crazy. She didn't do anything wrong.
I think she handled
herself
pretty well.
Friends came to her house and they were rude, and he's blaming it on her because it was uncomfortable and didn't like it. I don't like him. Mm.
I wonder if it was more about bringing the drama into our home and how am I going to look to my colleagues when this is something that I become involved in. Like, normally I would be horrified to hear a wife say, oh, my husband doesn't let me do that. But I'm thinking, you know, if he's trying to shut her down from being dramatic or from getting involved in cattiness that could really hurt his reputation, that's at least understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if he's so smart and he does his research, he would have known what this show was like and let her to ever sign up. That's he should have expected this, and if he's going to be embarrassed, then that's his own fault.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Fern. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You guys think he's regretting it?
I think so. And I think she's regretting it. Well, she doesn't want to look that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do at the reunion, because they're probably going to play back these moments and then, you know, show Erica and be like, you know, what is your reaction to this? Like, you know, how do you feel about your husband's portrayal in the show? And then she'll say something probably very diplomatic, but I'm curious to see what they say, but I have a feeling it'll be a rehearsed statement.
Oh, totally. Know, she'll sit up very straight with a very straight back, and she'll have her chin up really high, and she'll be like, my husband and I, that's just how it's always been, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, very Erica. She's just going to own it, and so it's going to be a non-issue, but it's a little freaky to see.
It makes me sad, because she's awesome, and she could do so much better than someone who's like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you need to behave.
Well, she'll be dead soon, so.
Oh, she is.
I came out loud. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well.
Sorry, Tommy. There we go.
I'm sure you're not the first to think of these things.
God. Yeah, and I'm sure he won't be at the reunion. And no, we do have to remember, too, that I don't know why I'm defending this guy, but we do have to remember that as far as, like, I mean, she puts a lot out there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a problem with the sexy image that she puts out, mm-hmm. and kind of lets her do her own thing with the music. So I'm interested, mm-hmm. how is that just a thing like, well, that'll keep her busy and keep her quiet? Or is that part of a dynamic where he does respect her? And I don't know. I can't quite figure them out yet.
Either, yeah.
I mean, if we think of the time we've seen them on the show, then... You know, it's such a small snippet, and we're just getting fed so many a little bit. So I think it's something that has to play out. I don't know. I want to see more of that dynamic, too, because it's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'm fascinated.
Yeah. Well, Eileen, the only one who has anything going on in the show actually working, she couldn't make it to the Habitat for Humanity on time, and she couldn't make it to the dinner. She's the only one who actually has anything collecting checks, good for her. And they referred to a scene that she was shooting about a building burning, and I saw this episode on YNR where the Newman Tower was burning, and it was at the beginning of the year, end of last year. So I was just playing with the timeline of what everything was, and so I thought that was kind of cute because I watch her on the show sometimes, so cool.
Oh, anyway, I love to hear that.
Yeah, it's something different. Like, just to like place it, because you know, everything goes on and on, you never know like what scenes are doing at that time, but that I could place. So she calls out Rinna on the beach for basically saying that Lisa Vanderpump is not that manipulative as Rinna is making her out to be. Rinna's just going off on this beach saying all these things, how she left Erica to hang out and all this, and then Eileen's like, you know what, not going there, and she shut it down, and I think she still maintains that today because she's still pretty friendly with Yolanda.
Mm-hmm.
They have an interesting dynamic, those two. They seem to be real friends, mm-hmm. and we know they have been for quite a while. So it was good to hear Eileen sort of like putting Lisa in her place, like, no, you're wrong on this. You're taking this too far. Mm-hmm. This is too much. But yeah. That they had it didn't get crazy between the mm-hmm. two of them. You know, it was clearly just like a real conversation between friends where they could give each other's opinion, and it didn't get crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody had to leave the table.
Yeah. You know? What's so strange to me is how it seems like Eileen has taken over the Yolanda position,
mm-hmm.
of she's just very honest and very neutral. And because she is so honest and neutral, she's never caught in a position where anyone's angry at her. And she's kind of this weird peacemaker, how she wanted to help bring everyone together tonight and squash it. And it's I like that she has a role this year.
Because
I think last year we were like, what the hell is she doing on this show?
Yeah.
And it's nice it's very refreshing and strange to see someone be themselves and honest on camera. So I kind of like it.
That's a good point. I was confused about something. Was Lisa Rinna saying that Lisa Vanderpump called her off camera and said, you have to bring up the Munchausens? Because they didn't have, like, a story.
That was a weird line drop,
too.
Because
that's pretty explosive. And then to say that Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle were exchanging giggly, making fun of Yolanda pictures is also explosive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like they didn't get into it because Eileen wasn't feeding it. Mm-hmm. But she said some pretty crazy stuff.
Well, I'm sure Rinna's already lying about it on Twitter. I'll look it up right now.
Well, and I think the implication was just that, like... sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Well, what do you think, Christy, of these text messages going back and forth? Are you surprised in Kyle's behavior or not?
I'm not surprised one tiny bit. I think if Lisa and Kyle aren't making fun of each other, which they're pretending to be friends now, they're not going to do. So, of course, they're going to get together and make fun of somebody else. Oh, the conversation. I don't think Rinna was implying that, oh, Lisa called me off camera to say, you know, you better bring this up. They wanted us to think that, like, hey, these ladies really are friends, and sometimes they call each other when the cameras aren't there. You know?
Okay.
That's what they wanted us to think, but maybe it was more calculated than that.
Huh.
Yeah, but as far as those two
ladies...
It's
not clear what she was trying to say.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It was they just dropped that in. So, yeah, it was a lot of context for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rinna goes on to say that she feels like she's the only one being honest. Sounds like what she said last season about Kim. And that she says that she's been used by Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle after that conversation. You know, they didn't own their part in it. They only threw the Munchausen thing on Lisa Rinna.
Which I guess I kind of agree with a little bit, but also if you don't know that Kyle Richards and Lisa Vanderpump are going to do that, that's on you.
What's going on, Megan? What's happening?
So Rinna, someone asked her if is Lisa holding a gun to your head during the interviews too? I love her, but own your shit, boo. And she replied, "No, she's like nope," as in no, she's not holding a gun to my head. And they say those exact words in my blog with a kissy face. So I guess she's trying to cover up the fact that she just threw Lisa Vanderpump under the bus like I knew she would be. And she also says that, "I love that Eileen and I can agree to disagree. That's what good friends are for. I love you, Eileen."
Yeah. Xanis Lemos in the live chat says, "Check out Rinna's blog. She expands on the whole LVP calling her to mention things." Okay. And Eileen mentions it in her blog as well, so we'll check those out.
So at this point in the episode, we learned that it was Yolanda and Kim and Brandy that had gone out for lunch, and then Eileen very, very just straightforward said, you know, "I can't fault her for that, but she should have realized if she had plans not to do such a thing." Very, like, real talk, level-headed, like, I'm not used to that on this show. I'm used to being like, "Oh my god, what a bitch!" Yeah. But, like, no, it's like, yeah, no, I mean, maybe she made a mistake, maybe she overexerted herself. She's not holding it against her. I like that. That's real.
Maybe the lunch was for the show. We know we're going to see both Brandy pop up again, and we've seen Kim a little bit. She's going to be back.
But why would
when
they
we see them
that,
all three though? At lunch together, then we'll know. Maybe it doesn't fit in this timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why would they mess the timeline up? Especially
because they think
the
we're not going to figure it out. They think we won't remember.
I don't know. I think they would have used it
in 7 episodes.
I think if they had Brandy and Kim in the same scene, I think they would have used it like in the timeline of all of this. I don't see them going
here's
back.
Here's what. They
backwards.
Keep doing the thing on Bravo lately of using a flashback when we would have loved to have seen the whole thing.
Ooh, yeah,
so maybe they'll use just one or two little bits in a flashback. They'll be talking about what happened at that lunch and show us real quick in like black and white or whatever.
Good point.
They do that a lot lately.
Yeah.
Which I hate. I'm like, give us the whole lunch.
Yeah.
Or at least the 3-minute edited version of the whole lunch.
Yeah.
Right. So Eileen goes on to say that she doesn't find Yolanda to be manipulative. Now we're talking about Yolanda. And so thought that was like a nice moment for her to like be like continuing her, you know, with her point. And Rinna goes on to say that Yolanda is more manipulative than anyone. And it just continues on from there.
Jeez.
They both are annoyed that the other one isn't annoyed at someone they don't like. Like,
yes.
Lisa wants her to hate Yolanda.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Yolanda is going to be receiving an award from the Global Lyme Alliance. And we saw that woman, Daisy, in the scene, who's been out of her caretaker. I looked into this woman because I was curious. I heard that she makes $200 an hour as a life coach. She also is an actress and a producer. So,
of course.
Like people in LA.
Obviously.
Wears multiple
hats.
So
am I. Come on. Kiss my ass.
And then she's a caretaker. I don't know what makes her qualified to do any of these things. Right. How can you do all the... I mean, how can you be a life coach and all this?
I'm sorry. Oh. Whenever anyone tells me they're a life coach, I'm like, red flag, no thank you. It's like any person that's unemployed will like slap that label on themselves and all of a sudden they like throw up a website and they're a life coach.
Yeah.
And like that instead of waiting tables, they're a life coach. And I'm like, no, red flag, you've no training.
Because I'm like, this woman, I don't know any friend that would be there for someone that much.
No,
like
get yourself a nurse.
No, Yolanda's called her caretaker and acknowledged that she's there to take care of her. They're not to be not that they're not friends, but you know.
But I'm like a professional certified nurse, not someone who's calling themselves a life coach to be my caretaker.
Didn't it say health advocate? I was like,
that's the terminology they've been using. Yeah. Well, let's not forget
mean
that.
Anything.
Well, Muhammad's footing the bill. What difference does it make?
Yeah. I don't know. I just was like, who is this lady?
And maybe they were friends, and this lady just needed a job, and she was like, I'll pay you to come and like make sure I take my medication.
That's what I thought because she said when we were introduced to Daisy that they had known each other for a while. So I was like, oh, so she's just like pulling this woman in, like, I need help, but you know, like day to day. But I mean, I know she's on payroll or whatever, but I'm not weird.
These rich ladies keeping people on their payroll. Like, Erica's got her glam squad, too. Mm-hmm. Like, can I get on the payroll? I do lots of stuff. I'm like a professional know-it-all.
So let's
I can run your social media.
Kyle's visit to Yolanda's house. I wrote, nothing was accomplished. I didn't even make any notes on this scene. What was the point of this? They just kind of smoozed it over, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, I think Christy and I thought it was super interesting that they waited this long to address it alone together. And it was a very much a non-event, almost as if they had already forgiven each other. So I don't know if maybe they talked off camera about this or had a phone call, and this was like, you know, the hills where we have to trot out the cameras to capture it for the audience.
I think that's the case.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was just to get coverage for the show.
Yeah,
I didn't make anything of this, and this could have been something interesting.
Could have been explosive.
Yeah, more played out on social media after that episode aired than it did on the actual show, real time. I don't know. That's tough with these days to produce on social media. It's tough, you know? So what can you do? Let's talk about a few other things. The Give Back Homes Day happened. And Eileen, again, I wrote she's working. Good for you. She's not there on time. But Lisa Vanderpump, she's painting. There are webs along the house. The web humor went on, and it really pissed off Erica.
I'm surprised it pissed her off. I thought she would laugh. I don't know why.
Yeah.
She's like, none of this is funny to me. I have no interest in this. This is not, I'm not laughing. I'm like, usually you'd be like, you know, just roll your eyes and be done. But she came in with an attitude to this.
Yeah, maybe she had her period or PMS.
I don't know. But they were in the Watts area of Los Angeles, which is a tough spot.
Good old Watts. Good old in the city of Compton. We keep it rocking. Okay, that's enough.
Three white girls at the table started singing.
Sorry, everyone.
Well, Erica claims that she does not deserve this treatment. And I'm like, all right, like, I feel like that was like a soundbite taken from the night of her party, because it was almost like no one was even doing anything to you at this point, except the commentary about the web. It was all in humor. I mean, you have to have a little bit of, you know, a funny bone to deal with the Real Housewives.
Which I thought she did. Surprised.
She did take herself a little serious this episode.
I think maybe because she had gotten in trouble with Tom about getting into the drama. So maybe she was like, you guys, this whole conversation just needs to stop. Like, I don't want to hear web anymore. Let's move on. Like, I'm not allowed to do the drama thing anymore, guys.
I'm on probation. Tom hasn't paid my choreographers in a week. Ugh, I had to put on my own lashes
the
today.
The gays are upset. Yes. Who knows? But yeah, she came with an attitude for sure. Erica feels that Catherine's comments have made it impossible for her to move on with the relationship with Lisa Vanderpump herself. Mm-hmm. You know, then Eileen says, well, she's just around the corner. Let's talk. So what could have
What been? An idea. What could go wrong?
Yes. What could go wrong is right. Well, everything. It didn't go well. You know, I don't know. Erica talks about Catherine's comments and blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Erica calls out Catherine perfectly, I thought. Just kind of laid everything out. And, you know, she said, you know what, you talked the whole effing night. She kind of did.
Yeah.
She's right. I like it when Erica gets mad. Yeah. Because it's only when it's reasonable to get mad.
Yeah.
And even then, she still doesn't fly off the handle, but she always represents herself well and gets her point across. And when it is time, when she is justified in getting a little bit hot under the collar, she does it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I argue like Catherine. No, not Catherine. I argue like Erica does. I recently was in an argument recently, and I behaved quite similar to how Erica went through this, you know, with bringing up points and just not losing their cool. And
did
just
you pat the puss thing. Also?
Damn it. I missed that opportunity to pat the damn puss. But I liked how she did it. I liked how she comes across, and she made, like, she's spot on points. She didn't have to name call. She didn't have to scream. She didn't have to, like, get other people involved. What did irritate me was the whole time they're having this conversation, Catherine and Erica, Rinna's right in the middle like this. She, like, wouldn't leave the shot. This is what I was referring to earlier. Like, can you let these two women have a minute, please?
Girl got her blocking down. She stood right in the middle to get her screen time. Yeah. Hopefully she'd get verbally involved. Didn't happen.
She was so happy to be in the middle of that. She was so thrilled.
She is so thirsty this year. It hurts me. It's Sahara Desert thirsty. I can't with her.
Catherine did end up apologizing, a true housewife's apology, which basically means squat.
Neither one of them apologized, neither one of them thinks they're wrong, and they hugged anyway.
Yeah.
And it'll be a problem next week.
I was just gonna say, yes. It'll come to a head in Dubai, which I can't wait for.
Yes, let's throw some glasses. Let's do it.
Yes. Oh, man. Anything else you want to say about this episode?
I don't know. I'm confused. Oh, I thought it was interesting we got to go see Catherine's ear appointment. Maybe for some sympathy, round her out a little as a character.
That's what it was.
Man, I made a prediction to Christy. I was like, oh, you know what? She's going to bring up that, like, the hearing loss, because she did say when she initially brought it up in a former episode that it happened during her divorce. And I was like, she's going to bring it up that she got hit or something and that's how she lost her hearing. And but that didn't happen. But I thought it was interesting to see.
Yeah.
Kind of shocking a woman that young has total hear loss, hearing loss in one ear.
Yeah, yeah, it took me back to, like, elementary school days where you have to
hear. Yes! I know, I was shocked when she wasn't hearing any of those sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that then someone weird. With her resources didn't know about the new thing.
Right.
The new hearing aid and all that.
I did feel it odd that they were going to get that test done now. Like, why not? Why now? And why not, like, 6 years ago? Like, or, like, as soon as it happened? Like, it's just, you know, timing for the show, I assume, but... Mm-hmm. Weird.
Well, one other thing that I wanted to add is that when my friends come over to my house, I'm more concerned with my husband's behavior than how my friends are going to behave around my husband. Right? Like, I'm like, am I the only one who's like, honey, stop, no, don't do that. Like, I couldn't care less how my friends act around my husband.
Right.
I'm concerned about him. Hmm. Right?
A that real a housewife.
No, my boyfriend's a better host than I am, so.
Oh.
I don't know.
maybe he makes his friends behave around you.
Maybe. Yes, that's true. Sometimes they don't behave and I'm like, get out of here.
Because if my friends misbehave, I'm not worried what my husband's going to think of me.
He's right.
Oh, yes, like, exactly.
But I want him to behave because, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm worried like my friends won't like him or whatever.
Yeah, because that reflects on you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always worry about the people in the house. I've had 3 parties and 2 of them I've had to throw people out. So.
Oh, I would love to see that.
It's pretty
interesting. Your life is so dramatic, Grant.
Oh, if only. I wish. I really do.
You were
do.
In arguments this week. You're throwing people out.
The arguments I was in, they came to me. I didn't come to them. So I told them where to go. But we're going to tell you where to go.
Grant,
and that's right here. What?
I said, how were the Oscars?
Oh, please. That was the longest thing ever. That was the longest show. I still can't get over it. I talk about it on my podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. Thank you, James, for letting me make that quick plug. But let's take a right turn right to Christy so she can give us our news and gossip.
Yeah.
What's good, Christy, with
the
news?
Well, I know y'all watched the sit-down one-on-one with Kim that aired before The Housewives. And I just got to tell you guys that her comments about what happened on the night of her arrest and everything kind of that she said on Watch What Happens Live really conflicts heavily with the police reports.
Obviously.
She tells Andy Cohen that she had one glass of wine and she was driving home and realized she shouldn't be driving when really she was downing vodkas at the Polo Lounge and they asked her to drive or asked her to leave and she wouldn't. And so
didn't
I love
kick
Kim.
A police officer?
Yes.
I've had a glass of wine. I never kicked a soul. Right. I mean, I don't plan to either.
Right? Well, and I support Kim a lot, and I just wish that if she agreed to do a sit-down where she spills all the details, that she would have really done that. So I'll go home and watch it start to finish, and you guys please let me know what you all thought.
Yeah.
But this is really juicy, guys, and this is related to former housewife Brandi Glanville. If y'all remember, a few years ago, she got quickie married in Vegas to a guy that she was like, oh, he's just my friend. Oh. Well... That guy's ex-wife was friends with Brandi for about 12 years. They were models together. And she's now starring on the Bravo show Tour Group. This is Michelle Harvey that I'm talking about. We had Michelle Harvey live in studio here at AfterBuzz last week, and she spilled all the tea. I'm sorry if you get up when you slip. There's probably still some sitting there, Fern. She spilled all the tea about Brandi, called her a hot mess, and called her desperate, and told the whole story about why Brandi married her ex-husband quickie in Vegas. And just what a terrible friend Brandi was to her. And Michelle is great, and it was very, very interesting. And I really encourage you all to check out the AfterBuzz TV spotlight on of Michelle Harvey, because it is juicy.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to go right home and listen to that.
Right? And speaking of juicy, we talked about the reunion tonight, and they are shooting the reunion this week, I believe, on Thursday. Ooh. So make sure you check the social media for photos. I always like to see what they're wearing. Sometimes they don't let them post, but I know the Vanderpump Rules kids just had their reunion, and their pictures were all over the place. So we will keep our eyes out for that. This next one is really interesting. Kyle Richards, that show that peed off Kathy Hilton and her hubby so much, has been picked up. Now, this is going to be a dark comedy. The pilot got picked up by TV Land. Kyle is the co-executive producer. But the interesting thing about this is it actually seems to focus on Kyle, Kim, and Kathy's mom. It's about a 40-year-old mom who just had a failed marriage and has no way of supporting her three daughters. So it really sounds like it's not about Kyle. It's about her sisters and her mom more so than anything. Yeah. So it's just very curious and maybe is more gives us more reason as to why the rest of the family would be so upset about the show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is just the pilot that's been picked up by TV Land, so maybe not a full episode order yet. Yeah. Hmm. And speaking of some new shows, this one definitely is hitting the airwaves. Brandy will be on an E! Show called Famously Single. We've heard some little bit of this has been kind of like trickling out. Yeah, it stars Aubrey O'Day, Pauly D, and a bunch of other absolutely nobodies that even I've never heard of. It's going to go 8 episodes. It's about them finding love. And I remember her saying in an interview that she had to set some girls straight, or they did, or almost got in a physical altercation. Shocker. I can only predict that that's Aubrey O'Day because we know how she rolls too. So make sure y'all check that out because it's gonna be crazy.
You know what I hope happens? Brandy and Catherine meet.
Oh, that would be a good one.
Because both of them are a little like from the wrong side of the track tough.
Yeah, and Brandy did an interview this week, and she did say that she's liking the two new girls. She's talked about Erica specifically, but she did say she kind of likes the new blood. And she was mad at Andy. She was tweeting Andy Cohen, why are these ladies still talking about me? And he was like, oh, because you gave them so much to talk about. And she's still mad that she's not on the season, yet they're talking about her. But
I don't think they're talking that much about her.
I know, and she loves when they do talk about her, and I can picture her and Catherine killing each other. They should bring her back for one episode.
Well, someone's coming back next week. Let's look at some predictions.
Mm-hmm. My fave. Your After Buzz TV
predictions. So Camille's going to be talking about a charity. That'll be nice for a change. And looks like Yolanda is going to talk about... they're in New York. I don't know. It was a lot. Looks like there's a lot of different things happening.
Yeah, finally.
A lot of charity things.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see Yolanda and David, how they're interacting. It'll be interesting to analyze.
Yeah, because that little teaser looked pretty legit. Mm-hmm. But I've maintained this whole time that they were just pretending to still be together for this season. So I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. If I had to guess... which I'm kind of good at sometimes, I would say that David was having an affair. That maybe while they were taping, she didn't know about, but the divorce that came out of nowhere that everyone claims they never saw coming, maybe she found out about an affair he was having.
Interesting.
Not that we're going to see that next week, but I am interested to see that dynamic, that toast she's giving him. And
that reminds me that I wanted to add in my news and gossip that he was spotted on a date with Selma Hayek days ago. Selma Blair.
I was like,
Selma Blair, who is in The People versus OJ, plays Kris Jenner.
And Caitlyn Jenner showed up to that dinner. Yes. Talk about a weird cross of just everything.
That is so weird. Mm-hmm. Isn't she awfully young? For him? Maybe not. It is LA.
Right? She is awfully young for him.
Well, he could probably go younger before he went older. Just saying. So
I think we're going to get a lot of Yolanda.
He's going to get a healthy
week.
One this time.
Yeah.
That was terrible. I'm sorry, Yolanda.
That's probably his mentality. Who knows? Anyway, we're going to find out next week, and you can find out along with us. Let us know your comments and questions, concerns below, of course. You can always find us on social media. Where can we find you? Fern, we'll start with you.
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Ronay, and my novel, The Story of a Single 29-Year-Old Manhattan Lawyer Who's Guided in Her Dreams by Her Dead Italian Grandparents. It's called Better in the Morning. It will be released very soon, so follow me for release information.
Fabulous. And I forgot to mention this, guys. Our CEO here at AfterBuzz, Maria Menounos, interviewed Erica Jane yesterday on her Sirius radio show. So if you have Sirius or you want a free trial, you can go to Sirius.com/ Maria Free Trial, I believe. And you guys can listen to that interview. And today, her new book came out. It is called The Evergirls Guide to Cooking. So get your copy now. It's already at number 10 on Amazon's top 100 books. Yay. So yay, Maria. She helps keep our lights on here, obviously. She's the only reason the lights are on here. So help support us through that. And you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. It's all at Megan Stecker.
Well, a little bit of book news for me, too. I remember seeing that Facebook is actually was not put into reprint, and you can get a used copy on Amazon for upwards of $90. Some of them, the new copies are $600. So if anyone has this book, I've got some questions for you. Please tweet me at Christy Reports, and I would love it if you would also subscribe to my YouTube channel at Christy Reports. I appreciate it.
And you guys can find me over on Twitter at Grants_Rants. You can find some bonus content on my own YouTube channel for Grants Rants Hollywood Talk and the podcast on iTunes. Our thanks to James in the booth. Yay! This is it for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.